Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that the ties we have to you through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, can never be broken. Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful salvation that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and in him alone. And as we come before your word now, Lord, that we would be filled with your Spirit and allow him, Father, and him alone to challenge, to encourage, and to convict us, Lord, in our relationship with you. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I was preparing these messages, I prepared them, both this and the Christmas message, because I knew I would be strapped for time this week. And since the writing of this message, and the study of this message, more importantly, that people have said things, and people have come to me about things, and the thought that come was, well, I may have to leave that out. But also this morning, people have said things to me that have really laid on my heart the fact that that would be a great sin on my part to do that. And the people will know as I talk the words that have been said in prayers and at the pulpit here this morning is very encouraging. And we are to speak the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And the question today, as we start our year out, we're going to be looking at how we can know and do God's will for a few weeks. And then we're going to be looking at what it means to face fears in our life after that. But this morning, the question is how real and how personal is God to you? How real and how personal he is? You know, it's lovely at home. We have all these little books on bedtime Bible stories, and we teach our children these little stories. And when you read the biblical accounts of people's lives and events in the Bibles, are they just stories, Bible stories, or have they become the reality of God at work in our life? Do we understand that at all times God is at work around his child? He doesn't snooze off for a day or two, but at all times and in all circumstances, God is at work. You see, if the stories in the Bible only ever amount to stories, then how can one know and do the will of God? If one's true desire is to have a deep, intimate, and personal walk with God, then they need to recognize that God has a desire for them, and it's the same thing. He wants to be real and personal in their lives. You see, God did not create the world and then leave the world to run itself. God is not seated upon his throne in glory and every now and then having a casual glance down to see how we're going. God is at work to bring about his plan, and that's the plan of redemption. He's at work constantly redeeming a lost world back to himself. And in that work, he has chosen his children, the believer, his servants, to be on mission with him. And sadly, many just look at God as though he's just a story, that he's not too concerned with their life. How many look at God truly to know him deeply, personally, and to be involved with him on that level? 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we'll read that again. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, God is appealing to a lost world today, and he's appealing through the believer. And if that is true, and it is true, then what are we to do? How are we to respond to that call upon our lives from God Almighty? We need, the best model we have is that we need to look at our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no better instruction manual than to look at his life as he ministered on this earth. We must recognize first that he was God, yet completely human. Every work given to him from the Father, he perfectly fulfilled. He never failed to do the Father's will. He demonstrated to us what complete surrender and obedience to God was like. We have to understand the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all three persons of one Godhead. They are not separate little gods doing their own thing. They are all one God. And when God encountered people, he did it in one of three ways: in the person of the Father, in the person of the Son, or in the person of the Spirit. Now, for many, you see, all these three persons of the Godhead are involved when God is at work. Now, for many, it can be hard to get one's head around. It was hard for the disciples, and they spent 3 years with the Lord. John 14:8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and you hast not thou known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You see, our need, and it's a great need, is for us to look at the Lord and to see how he lived his life out before his heavenly Father. Now, John 5 gives us a clear example in how the Lord approached the knowing and doing of his Father's will. You see, the stories need to become realities. Jesus answered them, John 5:17, My Father work hitherto, and I work. Verse 19, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. You see, God was at work through the Son. And those verses reveal a great truth to us about how Jesus went about doing his Father's will. God had been at work all the time, and now he has his Son working. Jesus did nothing of his own accord. He watched to see what God was doing, and he joined God in that work. And the Father loved the Son, and he showed the Son everything that he was doing. You see, Jesus made it clear in these verses that God was the one who started the work, and he was invited to be involved in it. And that's exactly what the Son did. Notice those words, verily, verily. In other words, this is real important. Jesus declared the impossibility of his acting or working independently of the Heavenly Father. And this is not a weakness on Christ's part. On the contrary, it shows us that the Father and Son are completely one, but different persons, but different functions. There is an inseparable union between the Word and the Word in flesh. In John 7:16, Jesus answered and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. John 8:28, Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. John 10:37 and 38, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe the Father is in me and I in him. John 12:49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. John 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 17:8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. See, Jesus joined God in the work God was showing him to do. Peter acknowledged those very truths in Acts 2:22. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Now, this is important for us to understand. And it's very important. Because if Jesus realized he could do nothing by himself, but with the Father at work in him, he could do all things, then how important is it for us to know that same very truth with God at work in us? You see, Jesus never took it upon himself, and listen carefully, he never took it upon himself to launch out into some ministry that he thought up in his own mind. He didn't just start up a new ministry outside of what God was purposing for him. He lived his total life in dependence on, in an obedience to, the Heavenly Father. How silly it would be for us to set out on our own without any direction or guidance from God. In other words, to take into our own hands and press forward in our own wisdom and strength and say, this is what I'm going to do for God. That's not biblical. There is a Christian saying that goes around and says, God helps those who help themselves. I've yet to find that in the Bible. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, wait. Lamentations 3:25, wait. Isaiah 30:18, wait. Psalm 135:6, wait. Exodus 14:14, wait. Psalm 37:34, wait. James 5 and Hebrews 6, wait patiently. Wait, be patient. They're action words. They're verbs. We don't sit around twiddling our thumbs. We pray, we study, we watch to see where God is at work. And just like Jesus, we join God there. Not our own initiative. Oh, I'll think up a ministry I want to do and I'm going to go and do it. That's not biblical. When people begin to ask us about the Lord, as we are witnessing for the Lord, we need to recognize God is at work in that person's life, and we need to be accountable and join God there and be able to share the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God has not left this world to itself. He is actively at work in this world. God is at work all around us all the time. And as one man said, one of the greatest tragedies among God's people is that even though they long to experience God, they do not know how to recognize him at work in their midst. Listen, could there be a more important lesson for us to learn? Because how easy it is to miss out on where God is at work. Now, there are many people who have a great desire for God to do a good work in their life. Yet they try to pass by the very reason God created us. And that is for a relationship that's based upon His great love for us. That's why He created you and me, to have fellowship with us, to love us. And having that relationship right is far more important than what we want to do for Him. Because when we've got God in the right place, we'll know what He wants, and then we can work that way, and then we'll know and do the will of Him for our lives. You know, when the Lord addressed the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, he said, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my sake have labored and hast not fainted." What a wonderful work, these people. The Lord's acknowledging, "Look, I know everything that you do, but nevertheless," He says, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." See, too many people have forgotten the importance of why we were created, and that is to have a deep and personal relationship with our Creator. And if we don't have that sort of relationship, we will never know and do His will according to the way He wants us to live. That's simple stuff. God's at work through His Son, and we need to look to His Son. God's also at work through the believer. You see, when our relationship with God is as it should be, He will start to give work to do as He desires. We are to set our agenda upon that relationship with Him, and we're to wait until God gives the work that He wants done. In many Christian circles, the call, you've probably heard it, the call is to find out your spiritual gift. And then you go and you find a ministry that specially uses that gift. And once they do that, you'll find they start to turn down other ministries they may be asked to do. They don't want to do, "Oh, that's not my gift, I'm not doing that." That's unbiblical, brothers and sisters. It's extremely important to understand a spiritual gift is the working of the Holy Spirit in a person's life to enable them to obey what God asked them to do. It is God who gives the assignment first, and then He will equip that believer through the person of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the work that He wants done. And when God gives us a job to do and we obey, He will carry out what He intended to do through our lives. And this is obedience. This is surrender to a love relationship. And people who have never accepted a work from God, listen carefully, people who have never accepted a work from God don't need to be spiritually equipped by the Holy Spirit, because they're not involved in what God's doing. You know, trying to identify spiritual gifts instead of seeing what God's assignment is limits those people's usefulness for God. You know, God wants to do a fresh work in a believer's life, and they miss out because that's not my gift. I'm not going to do anything other than what I believe is my gift. Hey, brothers, that's selfish. That's self-centeredness. That's denying the power of God at work in your life. It becomes self-centeredness instead of God-centeredness. God does not ask us to find ministries that suit us. We don't choose what we will do for God. He invites us to join Him where He's at work, where He wants us to be, and He wants us to be involved in what He's involved in. That's the pattern of Christ's life, and it should be the same pattern for the believer's life. But until we understand the love relationship, until we acknowledge that He is God and we are not, we are going to live a self-centered life, doing only what we want to do for the Lord, and it's probably not what He wants us to do anyway. Romans 15:3 is very clear, for even Christ pleased not Himself. And we need to get alone with God. We need to ask for His help to understand the relationship between a God-given work and what a real spiritual gift is. God was at work through His Son. God's at work through the believer. God's at work through the Holy Spirit. Now, the Old Testament lays the foundation on how we are to understand how the Holy Spirit works in the New Testament. Now Romans 15:4 tells us, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't live within believers as He does in the New Testament in today's salvation. He came upon them to enable them to do the work that God had for them. Remember Moses. God came to Moses with a work to do. He was to be Israel's religious, spiritual leader and to bring them out of captivity. And that was God's initiative, not Moses. God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. God came to him. Moses didn't go to God. In Exodus 3 and 4, we have the story. In verse 10, God tells Moses, He says, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to bring the people out of Egypt. And Moses responds and said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? Listen, God assures him all through those chapters how God's going to do the work, who He's going to use, how He's going to accomplish it. And Moses says, well, who am I? Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Again, the Lord reassures Moses that everything's going to be fine. And Moses in Exodus 4:10 says unto the Lord, O Lord, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither therefore heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses is arguing with God. He doesn't think God knows what He's doing. But God knew exactly what He was doing when He called Moses. Moses' job was to get on board with God, not work out what he wanted to do. You see, Moses' victory wasn't an account of his own abilities, what he liked or his past victories. First, God gave Moses the work to do, and then God equipped Moses to do that work through the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And when Moses obeyed God, then God enabled Moses to do what God commanded. And Moses did things he would never been able to do by himself. We've only got to look at the period of the judges and prophets. They were all given a specific task, and then the Spirit of God would come upon them and enable them to do the jobs, but they were jobs that God had initiated, not what they wanted to do for themselves. And when they obeyed, God provided victory through his Spirit. David was another. Remember Samuel. He was called of God. You'll notice all these prophets, they had to keep God's house clean. They had to protect the people. Samuel was called. 1 Samuel 3:4, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." Verse 21, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. Look what it says, "For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." You see, the leadership of God's house had fallen into disrepute. It had fallen into sin. Eli hadn't managed it properly. His sons were an abomination. God said he would judge Eli's household, and he did. And he called on Samuel to clean things up. The people knew God had appointed Samuel to the work. Because listen, a self-appointed servant, isn't a servant because they announce themselves to be one. Self-appointment does not make a person a spiritual leader. God called Samuel to the work. Samuel obeyed God, and through his Spirit coming upon Samuel, Samuel was enabled by God to do the work that God wanted done. Samuel had to protect the house of God from wolves in sheep's clothing. And that call is even greater today. There are wolves in sheep's clothing wanting to come into the church. They want to come in and spread their false doctrines and lies. And they do it. They come in, and what they do, they start to get involved. And they just start to get people to doubt what the church stands for. It's only a little bit here and there. Remember, the devil just taps the wedge. Tries to get them to doubt what the church stands for. And after a while and a few taps, they come along a bit longer. And then they start to discredit the reputation of the leadership in the church. And try to get people to start doubting. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Oh, they're real treasures, brothers and sisters. You know what you do with a treasure, don't you? You bury it. God's house needs to be kept clean and right and straight. Ezekiel was another. Ezekiel 2 and 3, the Spirit entered into him, it tells us. A bit like the pastor who got to the airport too early. He'd made a mistake. He got there too early. So he goes to sit and have a cup of coffee. And the girl's behind the counter and she's trying to get things organized. And he's there and he starts to grumble a little bit. Well, she hasn't come to the table to ask me what I want yet. So he starts getting all upset. And when the girl comes over, he says, "What took you so long?" She says, "Oh, look, I'm sorry, sir, but, you know, we don't know. The sign says we're open at this time." And he was so convicted at the way he treated her. It was his mistake. He was too early. Not her mistake that she wasn't serving him on the time when he was ready. A pastor tells of a story. And this is a sincere church member who wanted to serve the Lord in her church. She had a tender heart for people who suffered illness. And she volunteered to join the hospital team. And she would get a call from the church and say, "So-and-so's in hospital, could you go and visit them?" And the pastor would get there. And most times she'd already been there beforehand. This is a ministry she believed God gave her to do. And when he got there, he would find the patients quite distressed. Some were even crying because something this woman said to them. Even though she meant well, she would upset those she went to encourage. she would mention she knew someone who had a similar condition and how the poor soul ended up dying. She would tell others and warn them about the terrible symptoms that they would surely come as a result of their condition. The pastor eventually had to talk with her, and he thanked her for her willingness to encourage those in hospital, but he added, he says, "I don't think this is God equipping you for this ministry." He said to her, he said, "Look, I've noticed that in your life you have a very effective prayer life." And it seemed to him that God had given her a special gift of intercession, because God was answering her prayers on a regular basis. And he said to her, "Listen, the church is looking for someone to intercede for people who are coming to church, connected with the church, but they're not yet saved." And he asked her to pray and see if God was leading her in that direction. A few days later, she said, "Yes, without a doubt, God wants me to do this." She was given a list with 75 names of non-believers connected to the church. And she began to pray fervently for these people. And the church started to see people coming, some of these people coming to faith in Christ. And when she became too frail to come to church, she would call the pastor and she would ask, "Has anyone else on the list been saved?" And the pastor would say, "Yes, there have been many." And after he moved on from that church, he would continue to ring this woman to pray for his family and his new ministry. You see, what we have here is a wonderful woman who wanted to serve the Lord. She sensed a need and had tried to meet that need in her own strength. But the results were very disappointing. Why? She wasn't doing the will of God. And when she recognized how God was equipping her and placed her into the ministry of prayer, she had a whole different outlook, and God was working in and through that woman. Through the Holy Spirit who lives permanently today to enable her to have one of the most important ministries a church can have, one of prayer. It's a sad thing when people say, "Oh, I don't want to join in with this prayer." As I said, I'm not changing my message around for anybody this morning. It's a sad thing when people come into the church and start picking at church leadership, trying to get people on their side, promoting the false doctrines of this world. They're not on God's agenda. God doesn't do that. First Corinthians 12:7 says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now that verse means each believer has the Spirit within them to enable them to produce what is beneficial. We're to be on the same page. In other words, as a church, we're not going to function properly if the believer as an individual isn't getting to where God's at. And until we get there and then come together as a body, God will then initiate what the church is to do. And the church will be blessed before it. See, the Holy Spirit does not give people a gift. He is the gift. And we're to walk and live and be filled in Him. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You see, the Spirit is at work in every member for the good of the body, not just for the good of that member. The church is the body of Christ. He adds members to the local church. He's actively present in every believer's life, and He wants that to transpond into the life of His body, the church. He doesn't work in people's lives just for their own edification, but so that the body of Christ may be strengthened in the power and might of God's Spirit. And that's why members need each other. That's why they need to be on the same page. That's why when God directs, we need to go with Him, not work out what we want to do for the Lord. And if the body isn't functioning, if it's not a functioning body, then the church will miss out on what God intends for it. And when members refuse to serve, when members leave for wrong reasons, the body suffers because part of what God has provided isn't serving and doing God's will where God wants them to be. And what God has provided is missing. John 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Jesus said to us in John 15:5, he said, the Father, you see, he was in the Son. He worked through the Son to accomplish his purpose. Jesus said to us as his disciples, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If the relationship with God is not intimate and personal and real and based on love, we can do nothing. Do you want that real and intimate relationship with God? I hope it's true. I hope that's a yes. Because a spiritual gift is the manifestation of God at work through you, enabled by the Holy Spirit to do what God commands us to do. And he works through the believer to bear spiritual fruit. And your focus and my focus should be on God living his life through us to accomplish his purposes for this world. And our greatest need is to be God-centered, not self-centered. Self-centered people are always got too much to say, and what they say is not edifying to any of the saints. God grant us Jesus' authority over our lives. In John 17:3, we read, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You see, life eternal is to know God. It's to know him progressively, intimately, and as a reality. To experience him on a personal, real personal basis more and more every day. And our attention, our goal, our focus should be on hearing God's call upon our life and join him where he is at work, rather than our abilities, our desires, our skills, or what we may call our spiritual gift. And when we adjust our lives to him, when we obey him, the Holy Spirit will work in us and enable us to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of God's church, our church, where he has placed each and every one of us to accomplish what he desires. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful God we have. Is he real and personal to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you would take time to want to be involved in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we recognize that truth. And as we look at these messages, that we would grow in a greater knowledge of your presence in our life, and that it be your will be done, not what we think we want to do. We pray for the protection of this church, that it be kept clean from what is false, that you would protect the people in it, especially those who serve in positions of leadership, that your grace and mercy would be upon us in a mighty way. And that we acknowledge, Lord, truly, that you are God and we are not. And that we start this year surrendered, obedient, servants ready to do your will. And that we come to know truly, Lord, what it is you are doing. And that we join you there for the glory of your name. Lord, we pray if there are any here today who do not know you as their personal Saviour, that your Holy Spirit has touched their hearts, that they would be unsettled a little bit, Lord, in their spirit, as you work upon them, as you always work in your great love for them. And for those of us, Lord, who maybe have slipped a bit, thinking it's all about what we do for you, what we want, we pray, Lord, that we surrender ourselves and get on board with where you're at work. Father, we thank you and praise you for the body here that you have put together, and help us to be aware that the devil doesn't want a church who has a desire to be at work where you're at work. And that he will. Lord, I've spent many hours in the last few weeks on phone to people who only want to push what they believe, Lord. I just tell them to read our statement of faith. There's where we stand. And stand we will, no matter what. Father, give us the strength, the wisdom, and the knowledge to sit at your feet and allow you to work in and through us so that we know we are doing your will. In Jesus' precious name, amen.